This is Disruptive Consciousness with Leanne Juliet, where truth is medicine, where freedom is the revolution, and disruption is the currency. Join me in my pioneering mission to disrupt consciousness. Allow me to breathe the life back into you, to fuel you, to light a fire within you, to be the catalyst for your own revolutionary transformation, to burn down whatever doesn't serve you, to awaken, activate, and accelerate you as we transcend reality together, journeying into the depths of our psyche, into the hidden realms and the unknown, into the multiverse and beyond, accessing our multidimensional selves and higher consciousness, becoming our highest frequency, disrupting consciousness, dismantling illusion, and activating the frequency for pioneering healing to create massive waves of freedom for ourselves, to be the creators of our own reality, to be the alchemists of our own vision, and the seekers of freedom as we disconnect from the illusion and tap into our highest frequency of divine truth. Disruptive consciousness, where truth is medicine, freedom is the revolution, and disruption is the currency. Disruptive consciousness is a pioneering movement and a mystery school in service to seekers of freedom, truth, and self-evolution. Created by myself, Leanne Juliet, shamanic high priestess, priestess of the dark feminine, disruptor, catalyst, galactic channel, teacher, visionary, medicine woman of the ancient future, and pioneering healer. I am honored to be your catalyst, to be the spark that lights the fire within you, to create a tsunami effect of freedom within you, and activate your own revolutionary transformation. Join the disruptive consciousness revolution. Come journey into the multiverse and beyond with us, into the darkness and into the cosmos. Be the frequency, disruptive consciousness.
Hi everyone, welcome to Disruptive Consciousness with myself, Leanne Juliet. Disruptive consciousness is where truth is medicine, where freedom is the revolution and disruption is the currency. So I am super, super, super excited to have my first interview on disruptive consciousness. This is something that I've been envisioning for a couple of years now, is just bringing interviews with really cool people with different perspectives and disruptive nature to disruptive consciousness. So I am joined by Alishina Jaguar Lightning. Mm-hmm. I say Jaguar because I'm in Britain, but I am saying Jaguar because that's how you say it.
You can keep saying it just like Jaguar. That.
It doesn't sound as sexy, does it, when I say Jaguar? It sounds
more. Oh no, to me Jaguar. It does.
No, does to it? Me it does. All right, I'll say Jaguar.
Oh, how about I'll say it now, Jaguar.
That sounds Jaguar. Really sexy. It does. Yeah, but Alishina. So I'm joined here by Alishina. Yeah. To discuss a few disruptive topics, but I just want to give a disclaimer, because the nature of disruptive consciousness is that it is disruptive. If you are easily triggered, if you are easily offended, then disruptive consciousness is not for you. So you might as well just click off. This message and the way that disruptive consciousness is coming to the world is to disrupt the psyche and create massive waves of fucking freedom in your life across all areas of your life through the method of disruption. Mm-hmm. So what we're going to be discussing about today is Alishina is a sonic shaman. I say shaman. Sonic shaman, a sonic shaman and creator of a voice Ascension, Voice, V-O-Y-C-E, his brand. Mm-hmm. But what we're going to discuss about is his journey through owning his sexuality as a gay man and debunking the whole stereotypical gayness that is out there about, like, you know, the femininity and everything. So we're exactly debunking that, chatting a little bit about incest as well, and how owning his voice and the tone of his voice has really helped him own the alpha masculine energy, which is so different. Oh, I'm getting chills there, which is so different to the stereotypical gay man. So it is going to be triggering if you're easily offended. I'm here to go into the shadows and debunk shit and disrupt shit. So that's what we're going to do. So I'm excited. Just
Wait, are you going to disrupt me? You're going to call me out when I'm
I will do. I might
when
do.
I'm in my bitchiness.
It might
I'm
be
being bitchy. Depends. You're going to be like, drop a bomb.
Depends. Yeah, yeah. Let me just check that this view is as I don't know how to make sure that you when it's recording, it should be all right. It should be set up.
That it's this.
Yeah, I like it when it's got two.
Yeah, as long as you, I mean, I don't know.
It's fine. Yeah. It's fine. We'll wing it. That's what we say here. We wing it. So, yeah. So, like, do you want to start and just chat a little bit about, like, where has this all come from? Like, obviously, your brand is around voice. And this is something that you've had to really own in yourself.
Yeah.
And I suppose that's been a bit of a journey as well, as you've like you've dived into your depths and like figured this out. Actually, yes, I'm gonna come out as gay, but actually I don't buy the stereotypical bullshit of being like, you know, the feminine gay man. And I'm gonna go on a journey to own that alpha masculine energy. Like, do you wanna just expand on that?
I like you telling the story right now.
Yeah, I love talking.
Yeah. So please at any time, just ask a question or ask for clarification. There's a lot to this, and I don't want to, this is not going to be like story time with Alashina. We'll tell some stories, but the point here is to articulate and illuminate the shift in consciousness that's actually happening and show those that have a calling to unleash their voice, that you need to disrupt yourself, right?
Yeah, it's,
you need to disrupt yourself, right? You so do. When we talk about disruption, I'll just say, I feel disruption has always been what I was here to do, right? Mm. But I came into a family that was Baptist. I also came into a family of incest. My ancestors, I come from like West Virginia. So a lot of the stereotypical stuff is really true. So you can imagine. So here I am, this ginger baby with like George Washington curls that comes into this blue collar family, right?
Yeah.
I was named Keith Edwin William Duckworth.
See, like royalty. Like,
right, that was my birth name.
It's Keith. It's just like it's just
my birth name.
I know, but
and
it just doesn't
my name
sound.
Today is Alashina Jaguar Lightning. We'll talk about that. And I love sharing this because this is about mythology, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm sharing with you my sonic mythology. Sonic means sound. So when you refer to that, my work is around sound. My work is rooted in sound, essentially being the origin of reality. And I'm going to blow my candle out right now because it's one of those wood burning candles, right? And so it's like going crackle, crackle, crackle in the background really loud. So let me blow that out.
I couldn't actually hear it, so don't worry. It's fine.
Thank you. So here I was, born into this family, and I grew up feeling like everyone around me was incompetent. Right? And I hear this a lot from people who are natural born disruptors, who naturally have this vision, or whether it's a knowing in their body, right? This is multidimensional, whether they have this knowing in their body, what truth is, what's true for them and what's true in this moment, right? They're essentially people that can see through ego, right? See through shadow. They can see through the wounded psyche. And these people are gifts, right? They're here to help us move into this new reality. You can see the wave. Okay, we've woken up to the fact of what's happening with government, what's going on with the elite, what's going on. It's like there's this huge wave awakening. And here's the thing. We're all, however you see reality, we do live in a collective organism, right? Mm. We live in a collective organism. And when part of that organism, so think of it like a family system. When you have parts of the family system that are totally out of line, period.
Exactly.
You do not coddle lies. So externally, we have that happening in our world, but what I'm talking about is internally in your psyche, yeah. right? And that's the conversation. So the same thing in our psyche. When we have parts of ourselves, voices, right? Mm-hmm. And that's how I help people understand the yeah. language is voices. When we have these parts of ourselves that are essentially creating lies and creating suffering in our lives, we do not coddle that lie. That's where disruption comes in, because when a behavior, which is essentially part of the psyche, the emotional body, that have basically they've latched on to sin, which is mm-hmm. to miss the mark. They've latched on to an illusion about themselves. They're not taking responsibility for their own suffering and creation. That's when disruption comes in. Mm. And disruption, first and foremost, has to come through the voice.
Okay? Yes.
So yeah. I grew up in a family that, what's our rating here? Are we allowed to, what language can
you
I use?
You can say whatever you want. I just mark it as there's a few F-bombs in the okay. video. So yeah. you crack on.
So I grew up in a family that was, Jesus oriented.
Yeah.
You know, it was very much the you'll fight the flesh till the day you die.
Yeah.
You know, the body is a sin. Yeah. Sexuality yeah. period is a sin. Yeah. You know, we're just supposed to procreate. So I'll fast forward. I survived growing up Baptist. And then I went off to like university and kind of went off and got into corporate. I ended up in a sales job of all things. I was working for a Fortune 500.
Being there as well. I did sales as well, recruitment and everything. Yeah. Yeah.
Cause I didn't know I basically got a computer science degree. Now I, as a kid, did not have the opportunity to discover the truth of who I am. Mm. Like I came out knowing but my mouth of truth was quickly silenced.
And so, I feel that because I can relate so much to that as well, because I grew up in a very typical family, back like middle class. My dad was a police officer. My mom works for the local, well, we call it the council, like the local government or whatever. Mm-hmm. But I was very shy. We went on holiday and I was known as Little Miss Shy because I wouldn't speak up and I just towed the line and I just went along with things for the sake of it. And here I am now, like 5 years on from my spiritual awakening, where I am such a different person, that person then, but I didn't have a voice back then. And I just put up with shit yeah. for the sake of it because
yeah.
that's just what you do.
It's and like
going back to what you said about, you know, when you're born as a disruptor, I'm a strong, massive believer that, you know, obviously we choose our circumstances and our soul contracts, but we choose a perfect family that is going to catapult us forwards if we choose to use that energy. So I grew up with, I'm very much about polarity. So I grew up in like the traditional, like middle class setting. And I had to learn what didn't serve me and what I didn't enjoy in order to find myself. So I went through like the shitty relationships and the crap jobs that brought no satisfaction. And in order to disrupt who I am, I had to go through that so I could see it. So I totally agree with like going through that pattern of, you know, you go to university, you get a degree, you get a shit job. And then you're like, well, who am I? And you have to like undo all of that yeah. programming. To like, yeah.
Well, I like what you mentioned about the
find your voice.
I like what you mentioned about the family, because so I do call myself a sonic shaman, and as because I work with the spirit of sound, so the voice and sound and musicians, artists, all of this. It's really the artistry of sound and using sound to shift consciousness. So the first thing I learned when I studied with my shaman, this was starting back in 2008, was that your family of origin is where all your power lies.
Mm.
Right? And most there's so much stuff around in the spiritual community around how to heal and what do you do, and you don't have to go into your past and all this. I'm not here to debate any of that, but I can tell you one of the reasons I found my path of shamanism. Well, one was because I needed plant medicine to open up the depths of the horrible shit that I carried into this lifetime. Yeah. Right. So yeah. sexual abuse, incest, all those things. And I'll talk about in a second. But when we come into quite a contrast with the family. Yes, they are there. It provides you with every opportunity yeah. you need in order yeah. to trigger and go through this process. So some call this like, you know, we're in the Kali Yuga or we're in the age of Aquarius. So we've made this transition, many different ways of looking at this transition, but the energy that's coming forward now, you can see the patterns in the energy over the centuries. And you can see now that the shift is coming out of what we call the age of Pisces, which is all about the mind and industry. Industry. And so we've done well with that. But now it's like, okay, we're not in survival. So we can stop being in this emotional survival and we can heal the emotional survival, which is rooted in victim consciousness.
Exactly.
And victim consciousness is something that a lot of people don't want to touch, especially in therapy or trauma or a lot of different fields, because it is almost binary. It is almost black and white. Like, victims do not exist. So if you're being a victim, you're in shadow. You know, if you're being a victim, you're in your victim. Now, here's what I will say. let's talk about the victim. Let's do it. So
let's just go to the shadow.
Let's just go to the shadow of the victim. Right. And let's just call it out. So I came into an experience of a family where I had a very profound victim experience. Okay? So I'm 43 today.
I didn't know it's your birthday today.
Well, it's not my birthday. I'm just saying in this moment. I got married when I was 29 to my soulmate. This is a woman. This is who was my best friend, who I fell in love with. We both love Pink Floyd, magic mushrooms, shamanism, and like everything together. We were like the same person. But through working with shamans, through deconstructing my psyche, through saying, okay, I'm going to take these plant medicine and offer my entire psyche up for all the illusion to be, you know, brought to the surface. The first thing that came through, this was in 2012. So we all thought 2012, many people, at least I did, I thought 2012 was going to be this big shift.
Yeah.
And I did have a profound awakening in 2012. It's the awakening that caused me to leave my marriage and leave an 11-year corporate career. So basically, I just had this feeling inside. I had been watching Oprah with my wife at the time. And there was an episode about, essentially about intuition, when you have this feeling that something's wrong inside. Yeah. And I woke up that next morning and I could just not shake this feeling that something was wrong. And I was supposed to put on my suit and tie and go to work and do the thing. And I just said, screw this. I went to my tools, my shamanic tools, and I got out the medicines and I just said, God, show me the truth. Like, who am I? Like, what is this? And that day, April 24th, 2012, was the day that I told my wife that I'm gay and that we need to separate.
Wow.
And it was also the day that she knew this was going to happen. Yeah. She knew on our first date, she asked me if I was gay. And I said, no, because I was completely identified as heterosexual because of, I did not understand that I was abused early in life. So we got married, was amazing. We were married for almost 7 years. So when that began to end, so 2012 is when that began to end. I left almost overnight. I left my corporate career and I left my marriage to follow my shamanic call. So I've been working with my shaman and I had this call to go to Bali. So I went and studied yoga. I went to Peru after that. And I sat and did a pilgrimage over several years. I've been to Peru many, many times. And I've worked with many different teachers. So essentially what came to the surface was like, okay, the first thing that I was disrupted in 2012, I was like, okay, you're not who you think you are. And you need to leave this marriage and you need to leave this job because none of it's who you are. So it began a 7-night dark night of the soul from me. Yeah. Essentially, you know, I'm literally just now coming out of that dark night.
Yeah.
Because so in 2012, I left to answer the question, am I gay? If this is what I think I figured out, is this the truth? And why am I just now figuring this out?
Yeah.
So as I went deeper, I started having memories of early childhood sexual abuse.
Which you'd probably just blacked out and just...
Completely.
Yeah.
Completely.
Yeah, to protect yourself.
Because it was that horrible.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So only through the use of some very powerful plant medicines, which completely suspend the ego and it just opens the emotional body for everything to open.
Yeah.
That's when I started to re-experience the traumatic stuff. And I've literally spent thousands of hours moving that out of my system. Yeah. Now, not everybody has this kind of thing, but I came into this world to slay something so I could harvest power from that.
I was just going to say, I had a client a couple of years ago who'd experienced satanic abuse. And she went through something similar where she didn't even realize what happened until she started having flashbacks a few years ago. And she's like, wow, like, how could I not? Because the ego, the psyche, whatever you want to call it, is so powerful that it will protect anything dark, like really protect you from going there until you're ready to go there. Yeah. And like you said, with the plant medicine that helped get rid of any inhibitions and just limitations, just allow a complete clear slate for you to be like, right, I'm ready.
And here's what people aren't ready to face or realize is that your spirit chose that experience.
Oh, totally.
Right.
Totally.
And here's where people are going to argue and all these things. And other people will be like, yeah, I totally agree. You know, it's when you're, the thing is that when your body has not processed that event of violation, you are still in the victim.
Yeah.
Until you go through the victim, you are not free from the victim.
Yeah.
I have worked my ass off. Was basically, I have subjected myself to the pain, to the rage, to the shame, to the stuff that's needed to come out of my body. Because 40 years ago, this stuff happened when I was 5 years old, 6 years old, 7 years old.
Yeah.
So to get that stuff out of my system. And I found, this is when I found dark consciousness or disruptive consciousness. Yeah. When I started to find teachers who were talking about, okay, here are the exact energetics of this shift of consciousness.
Yeah,
exactly. Here's what this is. These are the archetypes of consciousness. These are the core aspects of consciousness that are causing humanity suffering. And that's what needs to die. And in many ways, this is exactly what Yeshua, Jesus, was trying to tell us about. And that I have since studied with him in other esoteric teachings and channelings and direct communication to learn and understand what it really is to awaken the sacred heart. All the elements of the Father, of the Mother, the Divine Child, the Holy Trinity within all of these. So for me, when I've gone through disruptive consciousness, I went through a profound awakening of Christ, the inner Christ. And also I was walking with Mary Magdalene. So I had Mary Magdalene like hanging out with me in dreams and telling me what the body means to this and the feminine aspect to this.
Yeah.
And she took me through the deep wound of the sexuality so that I could come out the other side with my pure God-given sexuality, not some colonized version of what the target says is plastered by a rainbow. Here, choose this. Right.
Yeah.
So I had to go through that. Because you can imagine the coming from a family that, you know, I heard the N-word. I heard the N-word when I was a kid. We don't say any of that stuff now, but, you know, there's been so much change. Like it was common to hear that word. It was common to hear different slangs of things, you know, because my family was literally from West Virginia and like there was not a lot of exposure. I was, my brother and I were the first ones to go to college, you know, in our lineage. So the victim is something that I had to learn. That is an experience and it's part of that, but the victim doesn't hold any power, but the victim holds the doorway to power, right? So this isn't about ignoring the victim. This is not about denying the victim. It's recognizing this is an initiation into real power. And this, because when you have an experience where your power is taken from you or violated, in that place, yes, your power has been, quote, violated in some dimension, but it's an initiation, it's opportunity. And, you know, of course, it's unfortunate about how much violation does happen, but there are the experiences of children or women who've been sexually abused and then go through this path. What happens is they go through a fire.
Yeah,
they have to burn the stuff out of their body. This is a purification. It's literally your awakening. It's been given to you.
Yeah.
You just have to go through it.
Yeah.
And that's how you come into a whole new expression of your power that could never have existed before had you not gone through that experience. Right. This is not about rationalizing something that's horrible. This is like, look, you're a God. You are literally the son of the mother and the father.
Yeah.
And you understand that they want no separation between your sense of identity of who you are and the atonement, the oneness with divinity. We're all here doing this together.
Yeah.
So there has to be at some point, there's no one's going to come save you.
You have to.
So I had to fully take responsibility for like, how do I find my way through this? And it was extremely painful. And I don't mean like, oh, wow, we did a couple healing sessions.
I know.
I mean, thousands of hours of personal time.
Right.
To get here.
I went through a
and it's worth it.
Like I left my marriage 4 years ago. I went through a spiritual awakening 5 years ago. And I was like, oh, who am I? Kind of thing. And then 4 years ago, I knew that I needed to leave my marriage, but I was so petrified because it's like I'm gonna be a single parent. My daughter was three at the time. I had loads of debt. I had no savings. My job had ended. And I tore everything down in 3 weeks. My mum got diagnosed with breast cancer for the second time. My job ended and I left my marriage all within the space of like 3 weeks. And I was like, I just need to go there. And that started the process of my own journey into my own depths, journey into my own deeply shamanic journey. And then a dark night of the soul a couple of years ago, where I was just like purging massive amounts of rage through myself. I was like, where the fuck has this come from? And it's just like, it needed to come out. And it's like, we're literally curled up on the bed, screaming into a pillow and just this energy coming through me. It felt like contractions. It happened over like, not physical contractions, but spiritual energetic contractions that happened over 5 months. And they got closer and closer and closer together, did these purges, until one day, it's just the final one. I just heard this little voice. And it just said, all I want to do is write and speak. All I want to do is write and speak. I was like, oh my God, like I've literally just been through fucking hell just to hear that. And I was like, it's so profound. And like you say, you have to go into those experiences, into the shittiness, and really go into the darkness to find the gold. Like I always say that, the shadow of the darkness is littered with gold. And you turn shit into gold. That's alchemy, turning the shit into gold. But you have to use the experience and the power of that experience to then elevate your consciousness and take yourself to a higher place of owning who you are by reclaiming your power from the darkness.
What else? This stuff is not linear, right? And this is a great queer conversation too. So we, part of what we want to talk about today is the queer conversation and the gay conversation. The process for me has been challenging to navigate because it's not been linear. I'm like, okay, I'm figuring out who I am in my 30s. And then later I figure out what really happened to me as a kid and I don't really understand who I am. And then I literally start going through my puberty. I start going through puberty again because my voice changed and my sexuality changed in my late 30s. So there was a weird experience, right? And plus when I left my corporate job, I bartended in gay bars as part-time. Like that's how I came out. How I came out was like, I was living in Baltimore at the time. So well, put me in the community. Like I want to be in the community. So I forged an application to get a job bartending. I'd never bartended a day in my life. So I forged and I got it. And I was cute, of course. So I got a job bartending with, like at a disco.
Yeah.
It was one of the most amazing experiences ever. I worked on and off over years. It was, Friday, Saturday night, we worked till 4 a.m. It was so much fucking fun. Here I am, I literally like take off my suit after leaving corporate. And this is what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I filmed a music video, like a dance in a music video too. One of the days that the day I left my corporate job, it was like this big, big, big coming out. So coming out for me was like, so it was. And then it was like all these shoes dropped after that. Like I loved coming out and I loved being out and being who I am. And then, but here's the thing. When I first came out, I had already been on this spiritual journey.
Yeah.
Like I had already been through seminary. I was already a reverend. I was already a minister. I was already an interfaith minister. I had already went through shamanic training. So I was already blessed as a shamanic healer. I had done all this tantra training and like embodiment trauma stuff. So I was a full on wizard healer. And when I got into the gay community, here I was, I'm like a baby. I'm like, oh my God, you guys, like, oh my God. I feel like a baby in the gay community, but there was this contrast because I'm so spiritually, we'll just say like evolved and awake, if you will. But I could see things where I was perhaps more evolved, if you would say.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, okay, what's going on in this community? I'm like, oh my God. So my passion was always the feminine. So the awakenings that happened with my former partner, we both had goddess awakenings at the same time. So you have this like closeted That's gay really man cool. and this
yeah.
woman
yeah.
who like start working with the plants. And then we have these goddess awakenings and we're discovering the goddess in ourselves and like going through these cathartic expressions. So there's the light goddess and then there's the dark goddess where this super erotic, like just basically you melt into being fucked by the universe. The destruction too, but you melt into being fucked by the universe. That started to awaken in me. And it was like, okay, the goddess is awakening me in a male. This is confusing. Mm. So I had all of that and I was going to Peru and studying with like indigenous teachers and bringing forward the divine feminine wisdom. So I have this contrast. Here I am in the gay community. I'm like, I'm a baby. I've never dated anyone. I've like only had gay sex since I was a child. Like I felt like such an emotional child. But what I quickly learned and saw was, you know, the wounding of the feminine as well. So, you know, a lot of women are doing their work. It's, we have the same thing that's actually within the gay community. You have a false representation. It's not a false, you have a distorted representation of the feminine.
Yeah. Right.
And this isn't across the board, not at all. Some of the most beautiful, powerful, visionary people I've ever spoken to are drag queens who understand who they are. You know, they understand their God in drag. They understand this whole juxtaposition of masculine and feminine. So I learned so much by being in that community, but I also had to follow my truth and follow my path. And that was mostly, it was around voice, because I started to, as I was going through my healing, my voice was changing. And here I was sitting in ayahuasca ceremony playing like songs, right? As a shaman. And I started to discover a new voice. And so with the medicine and the consciousness work, I started to strip my voice of ego. And I learned that you could strip your voice of shadow and ego and these distortions.
Yeah.
And since what's birthed out of that is I've essentially distilled a map of consciousness so you can hear and understand what power sounds like. But when you are in your truth and your power and it's cleanly expressed, and what shadow sounds like when you're like not sure of your power and you're in your truth and what should I do? And like all this kind of energy when you're just not in your truth and you're not in the truth of who you are and you don't even know like what really the truth is. You know what I'm saying?
Like, I think it's important to say as well. I think you've said before that your voice is now different to what it used to be because you've really gone into the depths. So like you have a very powerful, it's a very captivating voice. It's a strong voice, but you went through the stage of really having to own that voice because that was not the voice that you had before, was it?
No. Well, I grew up in West Virginia. So I grew up with like where it was all, you know, hillbilly talk all the time. But here's the thing. If you understand voice, the insides of voice, if you understand the chakra system, the voice and how all these get compressed, when you've got trauma inside, that completely calcifies your diaphragm, which is your voice. It will also, it can calcify the womb, which is your sacral, which is where your creativity and sexuality comes from. And why I help people unleash their womb voice.
Yeah.
Essentially that's most of the work is like, they're not actually singing or speaking from their womb, which is sexuality. So when people hear me, they either get triggered or super activated because they can hear my sexuality, which is my power. And it's like, you either can receive it or you can't. So the womb voice, the whole point was me is like, as an artist, as a speaker, as everything, I wanted my voice. I was like, that my voice is my power. My voice is my identity. So as I was stripping the parts of me that weren't me, basically purging homophobia and incest rape out of my body, that's when the spirit was able to move through. Right. So there's a lot of stuff.
As you purged all that, your voice became stronger and more defined.
Yeah. Because the voice, your body is the voice.
Yeah.
Every muscle fiber, the way the bones are structured, how much emotional baggage you're still holding in certain centers, all of these affect your timbre, your tone, and the energy of your sound, the energy of your voice, which means what are you actually saying despite the words?
Yeah.
Right. And that's where I take people to, is a very naked place with their voice, because the voice is your identity. There is no hiding from the sonic truth that comes through your voice.
Yeah.
And when I help people bring that awareness in, like I teach, people can go, we'll have plugs and things in here, but you can watch a video I have called The 7 Stages of Sonic Ascension. And this is to ascend the voice, it's to ascend your identity of voice. So the voice does change. And the first stage in that is tonal awareness, where you're becoming aware of your tone and what that energy implies and where you're speaking from, like where is the authority coming from? Where is that place in your being?
Yeah.
Because we have 7 centers of authority, and each from the root to the crown, and they each speak a voice. They each have a voice of authority, and that voice of authority. So it's a composition. The whole thing makes up your entire voice from root to crown. And if the root or the sacral or the heart are in distortion, their voice of authority is not in alignment. It's not in truth. That comes through in the voice. Comes through in the voice.
Yeah.
It's why it's like people that are voice actors or actors have they have the ability to understand this better because they've trained in voice, they've trained in understanding this. But if you watch TV, like if you watch television, you can understand this. If you just listen to what drama sounds like versus, you know, what the news sounds like versus what comedy sounds like, when you hear these things, you can begin to hear what is true and what is not. Yeah. And what archetypal energies are coming through, like what is that, what's the energy coming through, who is that that's speaking, who's actually coming through, what are you actually saying behind the voice? And that's how I found my way home. So when I first came out, I had a gay voice.
Now did I, like, you have a gay voice? You felt that you had to adopt that, like, oh, I've come out now, so now I have to be like, oh, hi guys, kind of thing.
Yes. Well, here's, it was two things. So I told you I was going through like puberty, right? So which means I had a lot of unprocessed sexuality that never, it was basically sitting in my womb. So I had my sexuality that had been sitting there for decades that I had never processed it. That's what the stomach is your processing center. So I'd never actually processed. So I had all my power locked up in my womb, which felt like a blockage, but it's basically all my power there. So as I started to unleash that, basically, I started to connect with my inner 8-year-old, my inner 9-year-old, my inner 11-year-old, my inner 12-year-old, my inner 19-year-old, my inner 21-year-old who I never got to explore in college, all these things. And they all had different tones because they all had a different experience. And they all needed to express. They all needed to be like, oh my God, is this my voice? Oh my God, you guys, I think I really found my voice. And I so and part of that's like part of those expressions are true when they come through me, right? It's not that I don't repress any gayness out of my voice. I'm looking for the truth. And it comes from my cock and it comes from my womb. So I've had to clear the stuff out of the tissues and the energy centers so I can actually feel. So there's no numbness in those places. So I'm like, oh, I can feel my cock, which means I can speak from my cock, which means I can speak from my God-given sexuality.
And from your alpha masculine.
Yes. Yeah. So I explored with it and it was more comfortable too when I was around, when I was specifically with other sisters or like in the gay community, I would kind of lean towards that. But there is the communal gay voice, and the communal gay voice is like this magnetic thing that people fall into, and it's beautiful in a way. It's extremely beautiful because it's a place where everybody can go, this is who we are.
Yeah.
And we can collectively, but the thing is, that they actually are celebrating a tone.
Yeah.
They're celebrating their gay tone. And it's beautiful. It's fucking beautiful. Okay. I'm not here to deconstruct.
No, not at all.
But the thing is, this is what I'm here to do, honey. I can't not hear what God has told me how to hear. I hear the energy of consciousness. It's what I do. Sonic shaman. So I can hear in your voice how you're creating your own drama. I can hear in your voice how you're recreating your own suffering. I can hear in your voice how you're not taking responsibility for this situation that is yours and only yours and how you can get out of it. Right. So all of those changes the tone, right? So there is like that communal gay thing, which I had to pull out of, but I also recognize it's not just about wanting to be different or not be part of a tribe. It's about finding my individuality and my like who God made me to be, my voice, my authentic voice, my power. I had to pull out of that so I could hear my truth. I could hear my soul. I could hear my spirit. And not just that, I had to hear all the distortions, like all the parts of me that are not me. And through a process of sonic alchemy, through changing the tone of my inner voices from disempowerment to power. That's been the whole journey of coming home to my voice. And that's what I teach people. And this is what Jesus has taught me. This is what Yeshua has taught me. This is what the Christ path has taught me. Everything is voice. Everything is your identity. When you go to do something, it comes from what? A voice inside. When you go to create something, it comes from what? A voice inside. When you decide yes or no on this thing that's in front of you, it comes from a voice inside. And if you don't stop to say like, who is that voice? Because there's a zillion of them. And is that voice true? Is that voice serving me? Where is it actually coming from? Is it coming from here? Is the voice actually coming from a pain in my shoulder from a long time ago? Is the voice coming from something in my back that I just won't let go of this shit? Or is it actually coming from my fully aligned, fully God in the body? This is who I am. This is who I know, who I am in my root. This is what I know. This is what I feel. This is my truth that's in my sexuality. This is what I desire. This is what I have a taste for. And I don't care what anybody fucking thinks. This is what I'm going to do. This is what I am here to do. This is what I want to do. This is what I will to do. And I don't need anybody's approval. This is what I feel. I care about this. This is what matters to me. I don't care how much it fucking costs. This is what I'm going to create. This is what I love. He is who I love. That is what I love. I don't give a fuck. Mm-hmm. My voice is one with God's voice. My voice is this a sonic explosion of truth that needs to come onto this planet. My vision is perfect. My vision is one with what God needs me to see in this moment. Mm-hmm. I see everything that there is to see, and I don't see anything that is not for me. When I'm ready to see what I need to see, it is revealed to me. I'm here receiving the Christ itself. I'm here receiving the wisdom that God wants to pour into me. So I'm constantly charging myself with these nuggets of truth because our reality has been so infiltrated with fear through the voice.
Yeah. And through the shadow.
Go after you've listened to me, I'm just speaking to the audience now, go listen to anything and hear the different tones. Mm. There's so much sonic manipulation, and I'm not trying to spin a conspiracy. What I'm telling you is that our human voice, we have been taught wrongly how to use the human voice.
Oh, it's all an illusion.
And this is what I'm here to teach people.
Yeah.
Is that the human voice, it's not just how do you use the human, it's so deep. It's literally this. There's a 5-year-old child standing in front of me. And that child is about to express something to me for the very first time that they've never expressed to anyone else. And how I respond in that moment will define whether or not this beautiful part of their soul, their God-given spirit, is going to blossom, or they're going to have to repair that in 30 years with the tone of my voice in this moment.
Yeah.
Be very careful with the tone that you're about to speak. So all of this, you know, of course, we accumulate these things. It's always about coming back to this innocence. For me, it's the inner. Yeah, my triangles here. It's the Holy Trinity, right? Yeah, it's the sonic trinity.
Yeah.
Because within us, every one of us has the potential to really embody the illuminated masculine, the true feminine, which is truly dark, right? And the divine child, right? So the inner child gets initiated. Yeah. The inner child must be initiated, and all of those gets brought out of the child nature. So when parents talk to kids and kids' voices, great. Now you're teaching them how to stay in child consciousness, right? The child needs to be shown that it's a fucking king, that it's an emperor. And you put that child's gifts and beauty on the throne right next to the king and queen.
Yeah.
So there's always,
that's
what the Holy Trinity is. God is three parts, masculine, feminine, divine, child. So I always come back to these because those are the tones that must, the master voice in an individual is when your masculine, your feminine, and the divine child are coming through in a trinity of sound.
I love that.
When you have fully embraced all of them, when they're all in unison. So this is essentially what I'm doing, is translating the most basic of the Christ teachings. You know, God, the voice, God is voice.
Yeah.
When we surrender who we are to the voice for love, which is the voice for love for us, which means the voice for love for our gifts into the world. And that voice for love isn't the love and light that we've been told. It's what it needs to be. Like when a father comes and says, enough is enough. We do not do that here. This is how it will be. That is his love coming through and his ferocious truth. And so we are learning how to reparent ourselves. However our parents may have fucked this up.
Yeah.
Because the truth is, all your gold is right there if you're willing to look at it. All of it, all of your power, the serpent, you know, all of your power there.
Yeah. And I can relate to that as a parent myself. I've seen my daughter 7 now, and it's been a journey. Obviously, when, you know, I left my marriage 4 years ago, became a single mom, and I have to catch myself at times when I hear something coming through that was said to me by my parents. And like, no, I'm not going to speak to her like that. Obviously, I don't want to, because I understand the power of words. Like when people say, oh, don't be so stupid to a child, I'm like, do you know how much fucking damage you're doing to that child by referring to them as stupid?
Yeah.
It's bullshit. But people repeat unconsciously and consciously, the programming from their own parents and from their grandparents, not the ancestral programming, without realizing how powerful their voice is, mm-hmm. and the tone and the words and the intention behind their voice.
Yeah.
And how much, what's that going to cost that child in the future to unfuck themselves from every ounce of bullshit and illusion and trauma or whatever, abuse, whatever it is that's been done to them? Because I, like for me with my voice, I wouldn't speak up on stuff and I was quiet. And I, like, my daughter, I joke, is the child that I should have been. Like, she's a complete fucking rebel, even at seven. She's just like, she just owns it. She just doesn't care. And obviously I'm a rebel myself. I'm like, okay, we're two rebels together, but you know, it's finding my voice. And I went through a stage of when I first started going through my awakening and I started my business and everything, was really finding who am I. And I've been through a full journey to claim that power now, because I was so scared of my power and what I can do to people, because I tear people apart and I burn shit down in people's lives. And that's I'm very honored now to be that person that is the catalyst for others, and to be the person that's going to tear you a new asshole, basically, as I burn shit down. But I couldn't own that when I first started awakening, because that's like, that's some disruptive shit right there. And I was like, oh, people won't like me. And it was something that I had to really own in myself. And I had an experience a couple of years ago. I was having a nap and just near that stage where you're just waking up, but you're still slightly asleep. And I heard my higher self, and she was like, scared the fucking shit out of me. She's like, just do it. But like really powerful and deep. I was like, okay. She's just like, this real powerful, like very powerful truth that came through her. But that wasn't something that I was ready to own back then. And it's been that process of not being apologetic for who I am, and not being apologetic for what I say to people, which is very disruptive. But as clients have said to me, like, I will tear them in two, but always from a place of love, always from a place of love, because I know what it takes to speak that truth to somebody and for them to feel that within themselves. And the tone is everything, the truth, the words, everything. I use sound alchemy myself, and it takes a strong person to be prepared to go into their darkness and be like, right, how do I sound? What am I speaking? Like, am I just keeping myself in the same shitty position, or am I willing to go there? And it's even like the contracts that we have with ourselves, where we say, I'm going to do this, and then we don't. It's like, that's powerful, because when you speak it, I don't know if it was the abracadabra, I don't know, it's like, I speak therefore I am or whatever. It's you're speaking that magic, abracadabra. Yeah.
I was just being really present. I had a thought in mind, then I said, I'm just going to release this because I'm going to be really present. But where I think I want to go is... you were talking about, like, when you have, okay, this is the thought. It was kind of thought form that was trying to come through. And now here it comes
out. Let it out.
You were mentioning how you were trying to figure out, like, okay, am I going to be accepted? You know, if I say what I'm going to say,
that's been
right?
A big thing for me.
This is like the biggest thing. Yeah. Like, look at this. Like, okay, just, if you just take a step back, like, and just look at the world, and look at people that have come forward with their voices, right? Just certain people. I study a lot of film, cinema, TV, these characters that we can literally develop and show. And when you look at these characters, not even just characters, I mean, even someone like a Prince or like an Elvis, or, you know, even I'm talking about iconic level individuals. It doesn't matter if musician, right?
Yeah. It's visited
these
me,
people move Prince. On their own rhythm.
Yeah,
right?
It's
like, I always found it so fascinating when I would find someone who literally they literally were doing whatever they wanted. It's like someone winded up something in their back, like tick, 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 and they're just doing their own thing.
Yeah.
They don't stop to make sure something's okay. They don't stop to make sure there's this approval. It's like they're on their own. It's like they're literally living in their own song. It's just moving around. I was, you know, so I became obsessed and was studying these people for years. Like, how do you, what makes this? How, and what I, essentially what I learned was I wasn't able to be inside my body because of all the unprocessed emotions and trauma. I wasn't able to be inside my body because I'm a natural empath and because nobody taught me about that. So all I did as a kid was basically take on everyone's shit because I felt responsible because it was, no one showed me how to use my superpower early.
Yeah.
So it turned against me, right?
Yeah.
So later when I started to get all that shit out of my body, I was like, oh, I can actually be inside my body all the time. And it's, there's a whole world of things that's happening in here. So I started to navigate and move. I'm like, oh, I get it. This is, so I started to break down, this is what it means to be sovereign.
Mm.
When I, that's the thing I saw in other people. When I saw Prince, when I saw these people, I'm like, they just move on their own rhythm and they're, it's called sovereignty. They're unhooked from this consciousness that we call the tribe.
Yeah.
They do not even, it's like, so it's so routed within their fascia network and their neuro, their neurology and their physiology, the thought systems, it moves on a different pace because they don't need to think about, they're literally in service of genius, which is their God
for approval or anything like that. It's like, this like is when, who I am. This is what I'm going to do.
They're literally in service of their genius. So I became obsessed. I was like, what do I need to do to figure that out? So for me, it was a body, it was a body path. It was like a lot of yoga. I've done a lot of yoga, a lot of body work, a lot of work with different plant medicines to basically decalcify the shadow emotion stuck in the body to find my way to that place. But this is what we're doing. The disruption is unhooking collectively from the tribe while also recognizing how important it is for us to unhook so that we can actually be of service to the tribe.
Yes.
Right. And so in order for Alashina to self-actualize, which means I serve me the most and I serve the creation the most. I had to unhook from everything gay. I had to unhook from how my voice, I had to literally stop identifying as gay. And I think we talked about this before, but there, what I realized is there's a tone of gay that I was saying no to. But there was a tone of what in my mind, when I would say I'm gay and my whole being would be like, what, whatever that energy is, it's no, it was to the colonized version of gay that currently is evolving and being promoted, you know, throughout the entire world. Right. It's like, you know, it's the gay liberation. Yeah. You get to drink, you know, rainbow colored vodka kind of thing.
Yeah,
it's you know, whatever it's there's it. I think the reason you actually booked this and was because I made a post. I made a pretty,
I've got it here. I wanted to read it.
That's, you want to read it? Okay. You can read it after this because it's, I had to unhook from the tone of the collective gay to find my authentic gay. There was a tone of what gay was in the world that never was true to me. And I couldn't find and embrace my truth until I said no to it. Until I said, fuck that, that is not who I am. And then come to the truth of who I am. You want to read it?
I did. That's, I was finding it before we got on this call. So this is like, because you'd been in my mind to interview you anyway, because obviously I've wanted to bring interviews to, my movement really for a while now, but again, I wasn't owning it. I was like, who are you to say that? And so I've had to like dive into that part of me, like, fuck it. I just want to do this shit. And then you posted this as like, right, there's my little sign. Cause you're already in my mind. You're already in my frequency and everything. I was like, right, I'm going to just ask him. So you posted this. Do I prefer men?
Do you read the maybe just the beginning?
Yeah.
You read the whole thing.
I'll cut a little bit out, but it said, do I prefer men? Yes. Am I part of the emasculated, gender colonized gay paradigm that completely bypasses the genius of gay and paints men in paints gay queer men into a psychological box that needs therapy to become who they truly are? No. And then you said you're about bypassing the new age bullshit, your God-given gay illuminated genius, but you said it was a, I saw a gay life coach post the other day about how our pain is one of the hardest to face. Shut the fuck up and take off your tiara. Your very problem is thinking your pain is greater or more special than anyone else's. It's just a symptom, a sign that one is lost in the cult of self-help and perpetually refusing to face their true genius lurking in the shadows. Anyways, I don't identify as gay, but I am through and through. And I just love that because it's so like we then got chatting about victim consciousness and everything, because who are you to define your pain as greater than another? It's like, for me, the way I see the world and consciousness and who we are as spiritual beings is that we choose our very existence. And you can choose to either have a hissy fit and a tantrum about that. I didn't choose this. I didn't choose this. I didn't choose to have that. I was like, you fucking did. So own it. Because the experiences that we go through are the very experiences that act as a catalyst, if you choose it to be that, the catalyst for your growth. So you experience rape as a kid, or incest, or you're abused, or you've had an alcoholic dad, or you lost a child and you've been through grief. You chose every fucking experience. So own it. Because when you own it, you find the power in the shadow, in the darkness. And that's like my whole message is, I went through an experience growing up where, the house was chaotic. It was, abusive, I suppose, like the relationship, the dynamic between my parents. Like even now, if I hear a loud noise, I get triggered by it, because the house was so noisy and all this fear and everything. And I went on to then develop like eating disorder and depression and bulimia and all sorts of stuff. And then I went through an abusive marriage, toxic relationships, that kind of stuff. And it was like, I'm not sorry for any of those experiences, because they made me who the fuck I am today. And I had to understand a couple of years ago that I had trauma. I was like, what do you mean I have trauma and PTSD? Like, I've not been in a war zone. I've not been raped or anything like that, but it was trauma from my childhood of like the not feeling safe.
Yeah.
So then taking on, like, as an empath, taking on other people's problems and not feeling safe enough to voice my concerns and my beliefs and who I am, because I was too busy in survival mode, which then impacted on my finances and all sorts of shit. But your experience is never in vain, ever. And you can either stay in that victim mindset, or why would I have chosen this shit to happen to me? Because you fucking did. You fucking chose it at a soul level. It's like, right, what's going to be a great, great big fucking catalyst for you? Oh yeah, let's do this. And you have to go through the shit in order to find the truth, in order to find the light, in order to find the gold by going through the shit. But most people won't do that. And they sit in that victim consciousness of, oh, this shit happened to me and my life is crap, blah, blah, blah. Or I never got a chance, or whatever. And it's like, no. Quit being a little bitch about it. Like, own the experience, because the gold is always, always in the experience. Always.
I think the reason I really wrote that post, well, there was part of it was me really coming to acceptance. That post was for me.
Yeah.
It's fascinating. Like, I post a lot on social media around my business or voice and voice transformations. But I posted that, it got crazy. Like, got really great responses. I was like, this is disruptive. I'm basically giving the finger to the gay community.
Yeah.
And the majority, it was overwhelming, loving response. Like, I had probably, dozens of gay men or other gay people share it in support, because what I'm really pointing to is everybody is going through a deconstruction of their identity.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And what I'm calling out is the gay identity that in and of itself creates suffering, and there is a way out of it. Right. And the truth is that the other reason I wrote it is because it was me saying, fuck whatever the world thinks gay is, because I am fucking huge and I will not stand in this box and be labeled this because of what I'm about to do in the world with how I'm changing sound and voice and my music. Mm. Like, I'm not going to allow gay to any be a thing. Mm. Right. I'm not going to be the guy who's like, make his whole story out of like, I came out and, I overcame these things. Look at me. And now I'm gay and happy. No, I'm going to show you that I'm a God is what I'm going to do. I'm going to show you that gay is for gods.
Mm.
Really should have been the subtitle of that post. Because I was trying to tell gay men to stop this whole, here's the grand disruption for this entire conversation. We can even still keep talking about healing. We can still keep talking about trauma. We can still talk about that. Or you can say, I'm done and I want to create. And I just want to shift and I want to move. And for what I'm trying to say in that post is to gay men, queer people, is you have a God-given queer genius because you're literally two spirits in one body, a masculine and a feminine.
Yeah.
You are two humans in one being. You have superpowers and they're not defined by whatever this tribe.
Yeah.
This emasculated, over-colonized tribe is that has said, go to therapy and, you know, go to the gym and get a boyfriend and maybe adopt a child.
Yeah.
Like it's like, do you understand that who your very existence is a complete contradiction to what everybody understands, which means you have a different understanding of consciousness, period. So where the fuck are all the gay men blowing up consciousness? Cause I'm the only fucking one in my sphere that is touching this conversation. Yeah. So where the fuck are the gay men who are supposed to be so fucking illuminated because you got a masculine feminine goddess living inside of you and you've got a divine masculine warrior living inside of you? Where the fuck are you guys? Like, I'm the only one standing here and I'm looking for someone else to go, come on, we can do this too. Cause I feel like such a baby, you know, I'm bitching right now, but I feel like such a baby because I don't have long-term male relationship experience. Mm-hmm. I don't have a lot of experience navigating. What is it like to be with a gay man who's also dealing with his stuff from, you know, whatever past relationship he stuff and carrying all the gay stuff into this conversation. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of stuff that I've wanted to say no to and clear out until the right caliber of individual who's unhooked from that can show up in my field.
Yeah.
Right. So I've done all the inner work. So I'm not trying to find what I want on the outside. I'm married to me.
Yeah.
I'm my number one lover.
Yeah.
Like if I don't enjoy by being fucked by the universe by myself, then why am I going to bring somebody else into this conversation?
Yeah.
You know, like it's a lot to manage me. It's taken me until my 40s to understand how to parent myself, how to honor the child that's within me. It's taken a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So gay men, there's so much potential. I mean, even in the past hundreds of years, if you look at history, gay men have always been either CEOs. We've been spiritual advisors. We've been the great artists or inventors. We've always the Picassos, you know, we've always been there in some degree, but there's so much more potential now. I mean, if you take all the barriers down, it doesn't matter. Like who's the guy, Pete, that's running for president. I don't know his last Pete Dickerson or something, but here's a guy. If he's a gay guy, you wouldn't know it because he just looks like an average, you know, like a younger politician, but his views are so fucking on point. Right. And he's getting a lot of traction because it's a gay guy, but he's not standing on a gay platform. He just happens to be gay. But when you listen to him, you're like, put this guy on, make him important.
Let this
guy make decisions for the planet because there's no ego.
There's no ego.
He simply sees what's happening with women. He sees the past as what's happened. He sees everything. And it's like, this is how we come to a solution. They're like, these are level-headed individuals that understand the masculine wound, that understand the feminine wound and can build a bridge. I think that's what I said. I'm like, we are bridge builders, bitches. We are bridge builders. What else did I say?
He said, because it was a long post. I was like, I'll just read it all. He said, like all therapy, in 2012, Dr. Alan Downs released what many consider to be the gay Bible of healing, spurring a self-help movement that still happens today in weekly meetups.
The Velvet Rage.
Mm-hmm. Like all therapy paradigms, the goal here is to tame the rage and pain of growing up in a straight man's world.
Yeah.
The preface above should really tip you off, as it's setting you up with a false, disempowered story, a total illusion. The idea that gay bi men need to find their place peacefully within a straight man's world is the very definition of emasculation.
Yes.
Bypass the new age bullshit. Yes. Go straight to your God-given gay illuminated genius, because every single issue that stands before you is simply a signal from your genius calling you to wake the fuck up.
Yeah.
Then you went and say gay men virtually have two spirits living within them, a dominant masculine and a submissive feminine. We are not here to be therapized.
That's how I would say it.
Yeah. We are fucking visionaries. We are artists, celebrities, performers, screenwriters, and leaders. Too much overemphasis on our pride, when what we should really be touting is the pride of our true power, of our voices, the pride in our creative genius, the pride in our jaw-dropping masculinity, the pride in the ways we understand and embody the true feminine, the pride in knowing that the impeccable compassion we give ourselves first is the most potent weapon we have to unifying humanity to a new heart-centered worldview. We are the bridge builders, bitches. We don't need to sit around and fix ourselves. We have medicine for the entire fucking world, the medicine to bridge the creative gaps from this shit show to the next leap in our collective panel, potential. Yes, get your head out of your ass. Isolation breeds more self-loathing. I fucking love that. It's just like the fact that you talk about being the bridge builders, because you've got both energies that you can work with. It's that's powerful, because not, you know, people don't see themselves like that.
Like, here's the thing. Gay men don't understand they have this vision.
No, exactly.
Like they do. They do. They're like, oh, cool. But they don't.
No.
They don't under. And I first learned this actually from Eckhart Tolle. Because when I read Power of Now, and I think everybody reads Power of Now when they first wake up, right? For some reason, I feel like Power of Now is like, it comes into your Amazon inbox.
I read it only because I was given the book many, many years ago, a long time before my awakening. And I was like, oh my God, this is like really deep. But I keep meaning to get it on Audible because I think I would digest it a lot better.
I don't think it's as relevant now, honestly. No. It's not energetically sound.
Oh, I won't waste my time, man.
No, but so anyway, in Eckhart Tolle, one thing he used to say was gay pen, because he would talk about depression and how hard that is. And he said that gay individuals have a predisposed advantage in awakening because they're already outside the tribe.
Yeah.
They're already outside the tribe. They're already different. And because of the masculine and feminine. So I was reading that before I was even questioning my sexuality. Right. So yes. I mean, now that when you're on the inside of this and when you've done the deeper inner work, when you've let yourself unhook from the colonized conversation to realize you're not just some booby prize, that you are actually an extremely gifted and dare I say special individual without inflating your ego, but you need to inflate ego at the right place because honey, otherwise you're not expressing your truth and your power. Like, I just think we're at a time now where there's open your eyes. There's literally so much we could change.
Yeah.
Right?
And that's why people like you and I are here as change agents and disruptors to bring, like you said, where are the gay men speaking up on, about being bridges? That there aren't. Like, you're leading that. Just as like,
there's so many places to be the bridge. Yeah. I mean, in politics, I mean, talk about the huge bridge that needs to be built there, because what do we have? We have a red and a blue, which is the same thing.
Same in the UK, and it's
wake up
show here.
Wake
as
up,
well.
No, it's like this. You wake up and you have a masculine and a feminine, and they don't fucking get along.
No.
And the stories they have of why they don't like each other are deep. And you got to go through that. Listen to all the fucking things he's saying about what he wants to create. And listen to all the things about that she's saying that she hasn't got to create. You know, because gay men have to do that within themselves first to come to self-actualization. And it's the same thing that you're doing with the entire planet, right? It's the same in BIPOC communities. They're going through this, taking responsibility for their own shit and saying, we're not going to take this anymore, and their own boundaries and do their own inner healing work and stop projecting that. The same thing. Everybody is doing this in their own little pockets.
Yeah.
But we first got to wake up and recognize this first. And the first thing to do, you know, sexuality is such a huge piece. And look, you can go on Grindr, you can do whatever the fuck you want with your sexuality and your body, and you can do whatever the fuck you want. But I'm telling you, when you wake up to the energy that you are, you don't do that shit. You just don't, because your energy just will not. Okay.
It's the same, when you're mentioning about sexuality and like Grindr and everything, it's the same with any community, whether, be you gay, straight, bi, unicorn, tri, whatever you want to identify as. It's like, and this is something I want to talk about on another video, is the whole porn addiction and the toxicity of getting people addicted to porn, and the toxic masculinity that comes from men believing that this is what sex is meant to be like, and that disempowerment.
Yeah,
that's a whole other subject right there, but just the whole thing around casual sex as well, that sex is a sacred container, it's a sacred union between two people. So
an interesting conversation, especially for gay men.
Because of promiscuity and all that casualness and everything is just
it's a spiritual question. It's literally like, when before I understood who I was, I was like, okay, I'm this body. Right. And so you have your sense of value and identity based on, I'm this body in this world. Right. Until you wake up and realize who you are, which no one can do that for you. No one can make you realize in this moment that you are literally the embodiment of the offspring of the divine. in this moment. Like, that's literally who you are. You are literally the son, daughter of God. Until you wake up and realize that on your own,
we're all God consciousness.
And I don't change your behavior. You won't until you recognize that. Because I could go, I don't have a Grindr profile right now, but I can go on Grindr and I can look and I can be aroused. And I might find an experience I want, but the opportunity for whatever that's going to happen is so narrow for me because it's not based on what anything that's on the, in that profile at all. It's going to be an inner knowing that I know when I hear your voice or I see your energy, boom, I don't need to, I need nothing else. I don't care if you're like long walks on the beach. I don't care how long your dick is. I don't care if you're a top or a bottom because all of that is a role playing too. I don't care about any of that. I don't need to know that stuff. I know in an instant based on instantaneous energy, boom, done. And that's the place that gay men have the ability to get to. That's their God-given intuition, their God-given knowing, you know, that's operating from spirit. But so I studied with Andrew Harvey for many years when I was going through seminary. Andrew Harvey is a gay mystic. He's got a lot of beautiful books out. He's still alive. He's one of the last gay mystics on the planet who's still actually giving voice to the importance of being a gay man and spirituality. But he has a whole talk on the crisis of gay spirituality, and that Tantra is essentially the solution. So it's just, he's like, look, here we have gay men who don't understand that they're the living embodiment of the divine feminine. And they don't understand how to bring that into their sexual relationships. So you have these lower frequency sexual encounters and relationships that are happening, when the truth is, to fully activate a gay man, like that needs to be on board. To fully activate the gay man, the divine feminine must be like, yeah, I exist. And the presence of the divine masculine must be there to arouse her and erect her. And that first happens actually within the one individual. So that whole thing of the divine feminine and the divine masculine, of the masculine and feminine, that first happens in me before I would submit or dominate to another man. So there are energetics of the inner masculine and feminine that come into play. So for a man to dominate or submit, all of that has to do with being in communication and in submission to your true energy, right? So that's the inner marriage that must happen first. The inner marriage must be worked out. You know, that journey must be taken so that the energy is clean, so that you can actually have these beautiful, deep, like spiritual experiences. So I used to do nude male-to-male massage for men. This is when I discovered this. This was probably like 3-4 years ago. And I would just massage them, right? And we were nude. And there was no sexual services. This was purely erotic touch and massage. And the experience that these men would have just from my touch taught me. I was like, oh, I'm not just like an average gay man. Like, I just realized, like, there's something going on. Obviously, because of my spiritual work, whatever, there's something going on here. So these men would have out of body, ecstatic, cathartic experiences by me putting my hands on them. Right. So that's the awakening that's happening. And I'm not quite sure how all this will happen but there is so much opportunity for men to come into a deeper, deeper sacred union with themselves, like a sacred relationship with themselves, right? I'm not here to push any morals on you, like what you do with your sex, how you share your sex. It's not about that. It's about you, honey. It's about you. Like, are you actually realizing the truth of who you are? And you getting seen and loved as that? Are you getting the love, and are you able to give the love? There's two big blockages, two big wounds with men, is they're giving and receiving the love. So gay men need a fucking ton of love, a lot of love. They need a lot of affection. Whether or not they've gotten it, if they're like backlogged, they truthfully, their entire being, their body and their being wants a lot of love. They want it from feminine platonic sources. Like, they want it from the woman in her platonic sources. Yeah. They also want it from men who aren't going to try to suck their cock. You know, and that's another issue. It's like kind of challenging, can be challenging to find, but that's your responsibility to create those boundaries and understand those things. Men need that, and they need to be able to give like this. They need to be able to give. Men are such, these especially gay men are such profound lovers, because there's the masculine and feminine weaving their way through. So that's why I'm never a person that's like top bottom. Are you kidding me? Like, I'm fluid. My desires change. So as long as I'm in touch with that, then I can communicate that and being in touch with another lover who can also shift in that dynamic. That's what the union is. It's like, I don't have to tell you this. I'm shifting into this, and our spirits literally begin to trust each other. So the Tantra, the tantra is a loaded word, but the conversation of bringing the sacred into the sexual is what will heal the gay community and wake them up to their fullest potential.
I love that. And I think the same goes for like straight men as well. It's like there's a lot of toxic, and I'm not going to get on the whole bandwagon of toxic masculinity, but there is.
Yeah, we can avoid that.
There's a very wounded masculine there who feels that he needs to be dominant towards a woman or aggressive or dominant towards.
Yeah. And I don't even see a wounded masculine. I see a feminine longing to express how the truth, how she needs to express.
Yeah.
So I look at all of this. I look at the men, I look at the women. I'm like, we're healing the fucking feminine. All right.
Yeah.
Everybody shut up and do your work and stop judging each other for like how we got to do this.
Yeah.
And we're all healing the feminine within ourselves.
Yeah.
Because the truth is, when we heal the feminine, which is essentially the shadow, when we heal the wounded shadow ego part of ourselves, the true strong masculine, it flows cleanly through us. We don't have to fix the masculine. The masculine is pure consciousness that's perfect, right? Mm. We want the masculine to flood our entire being, and we got to clear out our shadow and our shit so that it can come through clearly, so we can be the mouthpiece of God.
I agree. One question I've got that's been like going around in my head at the moment is, why do, like we spoke before about the whole needing to be part of a community and feel like that part of like that gay community, but why do you feel that it is that so many people, like celebrities, people in public eye, need to be like, I'm now coming out? From my perspective, I just think, I don't give a fuck what anyone's sexuality is. Like, I don't say, oh, I'm coming out as straight. Hi guys, I'm coming out as straight. Like, why is there such an emphasis on somebody needing to come out? Why does a celebrity, a footballer, a politician, a singer, an artist, an actor have to say, I'm coming out now? And then there's a whole big spread of them in like a newspaper or something, like this person's now come out as gay. Why does that matter? Like, do you feel like that's coming again from like a victim consciousness, or do you feel like that's an empowering position to come from?
It depends how you split it. I mean, I could sit here and say, oh, that's because the colonization needs to know who you are. So you got to come out and declare to the world that you're this different part of us. You know, I could say, you know, we shouldn't even need it because everybody's just who they are. But the other point of it true is, the truth is, we live in this world and coming out is extremely liberating for the individual.
Yeah.
Right? Why people do it at a celebrity level, who knows, man? I mean, who really, really knows? And really, it could be a publicity thing. It could be, I mean, it could be a zillion different things. Who really knows? This, I mean, I've thought about this too. Cause so when my music comes out, and I'm actually known when I actually launched that and do that, and people are like wondering, who is this like super sexy, erotic, playful man? Oh my God, is he gay?
Shaman.
And how is that going to impact how people receive? Like, I've went through all of that stuff. I've had to wrestle with the, is gay basically going to crush my credibility, my genius? Are people going to hear and see my genius? I've had to go through a lot of that, but this whole journey is about identity. Is it not? This whole thing is about identity. Who am I? Mm. You know, is Jesus coming to save us? Who will I be when Jesus comes back? You know, like, well, honey, he's here all the time. Whenever you
exactly,
like,
can
we stop with the outer Christ teachings and realize that there is only the inner Christ teachings only ever?
And I get that as well.
Imply the outer Christ creature, which implies how you behave to other people.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not religious in the slightest, but going through my own spiritual awakening, I had to start becoming comfortable with saying the word God and Christ, because I am not religious. I don't believe in like the Bible or any of that. I was christened as a kid, but obviously I didn't go to church or anything. But I mean, I've had Jesus visit me in dreams. I've had Mary Magdalene come to me with astral travels, that kind of stuff. And it's, but I really struggled with the whole saying the word God, because I don't believe in the concepts of what we're programmed to believe. Obviously we're I believe in source, and we are all God, and we are all God consciousness living through the human vessel. But that's taken me a while to be able to like be okay with saying that without somebody thinking, oh, she's talking about religion here. I'm not, you know, we are all God, we are all gods and goddesses. And when people start to own that about themselves, it can shift your entire reality and your entire identity by owning the fact that we are all gods and goddesses.
Yes. It's a big identity game.
Mm.
You know? And honestly, that's really where play. I mean, so we've talked a lot about healing and stuff today, and I will mention a little bit about people that I work with.
If you want to mention that, because obviously your thing is
coming into my voice, coming into my queer voice has been a big part of my journey. So I do have a program, product, whatever you want to call it, called Queer Voice, and it V-O-Y-C-E. But so I do work with queer individuals in finding their voice. I more so work with queer individuals who are also artists. Mm. Whether it means your art is healing, your art is music, your art is whatever it is, or if you're a voice artist. But these days I'm working more and more with individuals who have a big vision.
And a creative expression.
You know, they literally want to change the world.
Mm.
You know, and I say that, I used to never say these kinds of things, but this is the God journey. At some point you're just like, oh, I now have the magic and I can actually do things with this.
Mm.
So I'm looking for individuals who I can actually help make large impacts that ripple out.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've been working with women who healers and helping them descend to their true voice. So this is essentially, I'm helping people find their signature tone, their signature voice, whether it's working through stuff that's in the body, but we're going to their true voice, and the voice has magic and power. So I'm helping each one find their individuated magic and their individuated power in that. Part of that is commanding reality. Like literally when you get into a specific tone, when you are fully in your power, you can begin to command your reality. So that manifestation is part of the work that I help people understand and leverage, but it's also your voice because it's your brand voice. So if your voice is your brand, for example, if you get on podcasts or you speak, if your voice does not live up to your brand, you're screwed.
Mm.
And this actually happens everywhere. If I flip on, you know, if I just flip on my Facebook feed and go to like anybody who's running, who did a live stream today and go to listen in and go to like, okay, you're selling embodiment in goddess embodiment, or you're selling whatever. But I listen to your voice.
And your voice is like, oh,
and your voice is not there.
Yeah.
And there's all kinds of other stuff. Basically, you're in shame about the thing yourself. I'm like, you are literally blind to the fact that you're screwing yourself right now because your voice does not live up to your brand. And some people will not notice it, right? But people who are actually awake and intelligent, and more people are, you know, that's the discord. There's a discord in that.
The distortion, right?
And people, part of it is like, you know, we want to actually buy from people who are telling the truth, but this is about being the living transmission of your work. This is about being the living transmission of your work. This is literally what Jesus talked about.
Yeah.
That's why when people sat in front of Jesus, they received healings, not just because he spoke in parables and they could understand, but because of the frequencies and tones through which he allowed God to speak and embody through him.
Yeah.
He was the medium for the Father
and the
Mother. So he enabled his voice to be the sonic embodiment of that truth. That's why he could speak in parables and it did not matter, because the transmission was coming through his embodiment and his voice. Period. Done.
Yeah.
And so I'm helping I have one client now, is amazing. She's like a human design gene keys badass find your power and your voice healer. And she's now working with women where they're coming into their signature, and I call it their signature tone, but it's their God voice. They're dropping into their primal sensual God voice and their reality is like immediately shifting. So they're able to just call in a dream job, call in a dream client. All of a sudden, the way they're speaking to their partners in their relationship is completely different. Their children are not misbehaving or speaking back at them. There's respect in the household.
And that's boundaries. All from the voice and owning.
Yes.
The phone. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Literally from what shifted in your voice. So when people just, that's all I do, is I help people get an intimacy with the energy of their voice. That's it. And I teach them the archetypes of sonic consciousness. So I teach them, basically I give them a map. Like, this is what shame and fear, this is what illusion sounds like. This is what fear sounds like. This is what doubt sounds like. You know, when all of these things, when you can hear this, and then when you can see and hear what the voices of power and truth sound like, I teach them how to basically encode themselves. So they go through each of the centers where our sound and our voice and our power comes from, the root and these places. They go through and they move out any distortions, and then they seed new truths. They seed new truths, which acts as like these little sonic portals that open them up into new truths. So they are basically imprinting the divine power that they wish to express from these centers that come through. And so if they're working with music, there's ways that I'll help them find harmonies, ways that they'll encode their system to bring forward new angelic harmonies or new harmonies that shift the heart consciousness. So if you're a speaker or a singer and you're looking to shift the heart consciousness, I can teach you how to do that with your voice more so than you already are, because you understand already. So I'm just teaching you the finer ways, you know, to bring the intention of what you're bringing through in through voice. So I love where, you know, it's time for new queer icons, you know, it's time for new queer voices. It's time for these new visionary voices to come forward and say, we're going to shift reality with sound, with our voices, with our music, intentionally encoded music. We're going to change the world now. This is what we're doing.
Yeah, I totally agree. And obviously, I use, well, something I had to own in myself is that I use sound alchemy myself, and I didn't even realize that I did. And, you know, my motto is truth is medicine. My medicine to you, to the world, is my truth. And my truth is the ability to tear you a new asshole or give you freedom. It's like you choose how it comes across. But I used to think, oh, I need to say it like this, or I need to do this or whatever. It's like, no, it's the truth. It's the tone. It's how I deliver it to people. And yeah, I've had people have like, you know, so much healing go through their body where they've just from listening to my voice. But that took me a while to understand, oh, it's not necessarily what I say, but it's the tone and it's the intention behind it, and be able to deliver that. So like, I've had clients where they've come to me for, I don't know, healing, whatever sort of thing. And then they've gone on to heal something completely different because my voice has gone to wherever it needs to go. I say, like, I'm like the glitch in somebody's energy. Like, I find the crack and I blow it up. And I do that through my truth, whether it's through my presence or the tone or just the energy. It's like the voice is so powerful. And I've had lots of issues around my throat chakra a lot. I've got hypothyroidism. It's something that I wanted to heal myself. You know, that's all from like other lifetimes of not speaking up on stuff. But like, I can hear like family members or friends where I was like with their throat all the time, like, you need to let your voice out. And they're always like, just with that, like that crackle or constantly like clearing their throat. It's like, what do you want to say that is blocked in your throat chakra right now, because you're not allowing yourself to speak with truth to yourself?
Yeah, there's so much opportunity now. I mean, if you just think like your sonic environment, I kind of live in this living, breathing where I'm always conscious of the sound that's around me, you know, coming through me. And so can you imagine a world where the voices that were allowed to speak on news, to speak in our major like delivery outlets, radio and these things, like you had to be certified.
Yes.
In a particular, so that your voice met particular standards.
That it did not induce fear,
that your voice and people would analyze it, you could not carry these frequencies of fear. It has to come clean. It has to come, you know, compassionate. So though, imagine actors being trained in this. If you imagine a world where not that all of a sudden there's no drama on TV, but you can create, it's the thing between a good actor and a bad actor. Why is it so like rewarding to watch a particular actress in a really emotional, particular expression and you love it, but to watch a poor actor express it and it's cringy, right? Because of the tone.
Yeah.
Because of the tone.
Like they've not always dropped because of into the tone. That energy of what it is that they're trying to convey.
Yeah. And people, when it's cringy, it's because they're causing more harm to themselves in that process instead of cleanly expressing, even if it is rage. So I can imagine, you know, and can imagine musicians and like all of this, can imagine like music and entertainment, all of a sudden we're conscious of the effect of sound and frequency. I mean, this is ultimately my grand vision for life.
Yeah.
You know, I have art and music that I'll bring this through my, you know, I play rock music. So that's like shamanic glam rock music. That's one vision of bringing that through. But I also, you know, I am moving back to LA shortly. And so I'll be extending my work out into, you know, like Hollywood. So there's lots of different celebrities and things that I'll be working with, and training specific voice actors on this. My vision for it is big.
I love the opportunity.
It's like, I just remember being a kid, like, you know, children, they get sat in front of television and that's how they're taught to behave. Through the tone, you know, of voices. They're taught, like, this is how I respond to being upset. Oh, this is how I respond to getting my power back, you know? So there's so much opportunity for the voice. But I think what I'd really just want to kind of share is, like, the voice is literally it's my baby and it's my passion. You know, there's, besides my whole moral view of how I think voice should be used, there's a lot of opportunity for voice to make impact in the world. And those are the people that excite me the most when they show up in my inbox. When they already, like yourself, you've already had this inner knowing of, like, sound alchemy, you know, of the inner tone. And then to have that inner knowing and then have a vision for how that can impact the world, that's what really excites me.
Well, for me, it's been about owning the fact that I am a disruptor. And I am here to make massive, massive waves in the world through who I am and what I can bring to people. But there's always the shame there and a fear of rejection and the shame of, oh, you know, maybe people won't like me, or maybe they'll hate me or think I'm a fucking bitch for what I've said. Because I go to the depths of somebody and I'm not here for, like, surface level shit. I'll go to the root. And if I need to call out the root by being really disruptive and really brutal, my truth is brutal, then that's what I do, because that's how I love on somebody, is by being fucking brutal. Because you need to hear that, because so many people are just being conditioned to accept something that's mediocre or not. Oh, you can't say that, or that's too offensive to that person. It's, well, no, you need to be brutal in order to understand the truth. Truth is painful, and it gets to be amazing, or it gets to be really fucking painful if you're not willing to hear it and work with it. It's like,
and the truth is liberating. The pain
is very liberating.
Is just simply, the pain is pointing to resistance that needs to be
done. Yeah, exactly.
We all have this inside of us.
Brilliant. I've absolutely loved chatting to you. Obviously, we've gone off on so many different tangents and everything, but Alashina Jaguar, I'll say Jaguar, you know, anyway.
Yes, thank you.
Lightning, it's been absolutely awesome. Obviously, I will link a few things below, like, you know, links to your work, links to the guy that you said, was it Andrew? No, the guy that you mentioned.
I'll send you.
Send me the links back below. You mentioned about the video as well that you recorded.
So all of that you can find through, look for the best place to go is my Facebook group. It's called Voice Magic.
And that's V-O-Y-C.
I have it so you can find, because I don't want
to. You can find it.
So I have it so you can search. It's Voice M-A-G-I-K. But if you search Voice Magic, it's the only one that you'll find there. But you can, my Facebook page, voicemagic.com should be up shortly. I have a whole new place. The spelling of that is alternative too, but the best place is just go find me on Facebook and get in my Facebook group.
Yeah. And I'll link all those details below. Awesome. Thank you so much. And this has been Disruptive Consciousness, where truth is medicine, freedom is the revolution, and disruption is the currency.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Disruptive Consciousness with Leanne Juliet. Thanks for your time today. Disruptive Consciousness is a pioneering movement in service to seekers of freedom, truth, and self-evolution. If Disruptive Consciousness speaks to you deeply within, then please check out the Mystery School at disruptiveconsciousness.com, where you can find a multitude of ways to connect further with Leanne Juliet through cosmic containers, classes, webinars, courses, one-to-one opportunities, and much more. There is also the opportunity to join the Mystery School for free with some bonus content for new students. Disruptive Consciousness is also on YouTube. Please see the links in the show notes to subscribe to the channel and join the community. For more details about Leanne Juliet and her work, visit leannejuliet.com. Disruptive Consciousness,
where truth is medicine, freedom is the revolution, and disruption is the currency.